The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
I just want to know, has your week been disturbed since last Sunday? Did you check out what your image of God really is? Did you have to ask questions about how you see life and how you see things? John chapter 9 is a woofer. Then we're going to move to John chapter 10. He says, now, since you got a bad image and the wrong image of God, let's look at the right image of God in John chapter 10 called the Good Shepherd. 9 is a woofer. 10 is a double woofer. Then we're going to come along and he says, I'm going to show you what that Good Shepherd can do. That's a double woofer with tweeters. You got a full stereo outfit at that time. Don't worry. There's not a kid in the world going to yell at me. He should go, huh? She's just mad because we ain't got in the words yet. John chapter 9. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word. It is a good word. Pray that you will move me out of the way, that you can have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us who need comfort, Lord, and it is a deep comfort I know that we need, I pray you would comfort us. And Lord, for those of us who need conviction, I pray you would convict us. What an awesome word you've given us, because you are an awesome God. We praise you now in your most holy, precious, and glorious name, and we all say, for those of you who missed last night, man, it was a pleasure to do the Antioch Counseling and Treatment Services banquet. The lives that's been touched, the lives that are being turned, changed, and is now being lived. It's amazing. So we had an opportunity to celebrate a bunch of those last night. Now we're going to have an opportunity to celebrate your opportunity to change your life, to make sure you have the right image of God, and that with that right image, you can have right response, and you can have a right understanding of what he wants to do in your life. We started with John chapter 1 after Jesus passing through the crowd that wanted to kill him in John chapter 8, verse 59. And having that crowd want to kill him, Jesus did not pass up an opportunity to talk about one of the most amazing, life-changing experiences in a person's life. We have miracle number 6. With one more to go. 3 different ways do you look at Jesus as a man, and just a man? Or do you look at him as being God and never really was a man? We looked at the different images of all the people that we've come across so far. What images did they have of God? And we need to look at personally the image that you have of God and how you're doing with the God that you say you believe in and you serve. We started with the disciples first. Verse 2, his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And we said, what kind of God did the disciples have? We had to realize that the God that they had was a vengeful God. Not only will get you for your sins, but he'll pay your kids for your sins. God that didn't forget about sin. We learned that the disciples had this identity that you could sin before you was born even. So that God was waiting for you to take your first breath so he could make you pay. And then Jesus said, neither this man or his parents sinned, but it was to bring out the glory of God through him. God says, when I do something, others may benefit, yes. When I allow you to suffer, others may learn, yes. But the main purpose, he says, is to manifest himself through you, personally. He wants you to glorify him through what's going on, what is being touched by you. And here's this blind man, got all these people having a theological debate around him. And he's got to keep his mouth shut because of why? How does he make his living? Begs. Because he is looked on as a sinner kicked out of the synagogue because he's born blind. Now, isn't it amazing that his parents aren't kicked out of the synagogue? But he is. Got to keep his mouth shut. Keep that cup up there. And keep all those answers he's always wanted to give people to himself. Can I have an amen? And we came to the decision last week that there are many times that we have thought about, we wish we could have thought of the answer when someone is gone after we've talked to them. This man is full of those. Full of those answers. But he's got to do what? Keep quiet. Zip it. L, keep quiet, oh. Since this is a church for all people. And all of a sudden, in the middle of this discussion, he hears Jesus giving a theological debate here. And hear something. Makes a big wad of mud out of spit. Now you had to get the tape to find out what we talked about on that, because that's funny right there, Jack. But he makes enough mud and spit out of spit and come dirt to put mud in both eyes. And then we had to decide, what kind of God did the blind man have? He didn't have a God that could heal him. He had never heard of it before, ever being done. And then we had to come to the conclusion, what does God have to do to you and I to get us to be a little obedient? Does God have to put mud in our eye? See, God don't mind putting mud in your eye if it's going to produce some obedience. But God never puts mud in your eye just to put mud in your eye. He puts mud in your eye for you to get a result, that you can literally see him better. Go wash in the pool. The man makes his living begging. God didn't tell him if you go and wash, you're going to come sin, did he? My boy is probably a little irritated, more than one way. Irritated with the mud in his eye, irritated he's got to leave his post of begging. He gets to the pool of Shalom, which means sent, wash, and he comes in. And that man is making some serious noise on the way home. Can I get an amen? He was born blind. For the first time, he saw the color blue. He's never seen it before. You think he's quiet about seeing blue for the first time? Yeah! Color! Man! He's walked on those stones many a day for maybe probably 30-some years. Never saw him. What do you think he's saying as he's walking down? Look at you, you rock. You a good-looking rock. I can see you rock. See the wall that he's never seen before. Felt the sun, but has never seen it. By the time it gets to his neighborhood, that boy spoke up a bunch. And he gets everybody's attention. What kind of God did the neighbors have? Because they're asking, is this him? Looks like him. I don't think that's really him. He goes, this me? How do you come seeing? I mean, we've known you your whole life. You've been blind. Yep. Sure have. How do you get to see? What does verse 11 tell us? He answered and said, a man. Who? A man called Jesus. You got to see Jesus as a man first. They said, well, how did he do that? He said, well, he told me to go wash in the pool. I went to wash in the pool. I came back seeing. I can see all of y'all asking me these questions. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I don't know. They brought him to the Pharisees that was formerly blind. What kind of God did the Pharisees have? I mean, the neighbors have. We talked about it last week. You already got to know the answer. Come on. They had a God that didn't work outside the establishment. They didn't have no experts back in the day. They didn't have no eye specialists. So who was the next best thing to an eye specialist back in the day? The experts. Who were the experts? People of the law. They was upset because Jesus healed the man on the Sabbath. Then again, the Pharisees ask him, then what? What's that word right there in verse 15? Then they again. Talk to me. Again. The neighbors ask him, Now, if they've already asked him and he's given them an answer, what's the problem? They don't like the answer. They don't want the truth. They want their explanation of what they think their God is supposed to do. How many of you have ever noticed why we have different denominations? Because we can put God in a box in this denomination that this denomination don't. And I don't like that God in that box. And if you can't find enough boxes around where you can fit in, we make a box. Why? Because what image do you have of God? See, you can't have another peanut butter, nut butter, peanut butter sandwich cookie if you haven't had the first nut butter, peanut butter sandwich cookie. Someone give me an amen on that theology. You can't go to the cookie jar again if you hadn't been to the cookie jar before. Ask him again, what happened? Oh, his eyes open right now, folks. He know he's been kicked out because he was blind. He know it's full of answers. how did you receive your sight? He said to them, he put clay on my eyes. I wash. I do see. Therefore said some of them, this man is not of God, because he keeps not the Sabbath. What kind of God did the Pharisees have now? They had a six-day God. Somebody encouraged the pastor to keep on preaching. Don't get sick on the seventh day. Leave a message. Jesus, can you please come by to see me later? I know you can't come by right now, but I need you tomorrow. Kind of remind me of modern day medicine. Somebody talk to me. You go to the doctor. I had a brother tell me a few minutes ago, said, why do we pay the doctor? We're always telling them what's wrong with us. Let's take these tests. You'll be there. Take the test. And if you take this test, we need this test. Because we need this test to tell us what the results of that test is. And every time you take a test, ching, ching. And then they get the test results back on Monday. When did they call you about the results? Friday, 5:30. On the way out the door, so they don't have to talk to you. And they know they got the test back the same day. All these modern conveniences. I guess that's why they call medicine a practice. A practice on you. Yeah. They didn't have no specialists back in the day. They had the Pharisees. They had to come see. Pharisees said, God don't work on the seventh day. So this man can't be of Jesus, can't be of God. Listen to what he said. Others said, how can a man, verse 16, that is a sinner, do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Can someone please tell me, how can you have two people witness the same incident and come up with two different answers about what happened? How can you and I sit on TV, watch a video about what happened on a certain incident, calling no name? And one person says, this is what happened. There it is right there on the video. And someone else says, that can't be right. This is what we think happened. Now, if this is the truth, you got one or two answers. You're going to give the truth according to you? Or you going to give the truth according to the truth? Now, it's hard to give the truth according to the truth if you got to change your mind about the person you're giving the truth about. Want me to prove it to you? Let me prove it to you. Because you got to ask yourself, what type of truth do I have, and why do I come up with the truth that I do? Because it's based upon the God that I serve. They said unto him, how? Verse 17. They said unto him, again. If you're the blind man, how you feeling right now? People who supposed to know God don't know God, and they keep asking me again and again and again about this guy who I think is more than a man. Now watch what he said. He asked him again, what saith you, since he's the one that opened your eyes? Oh, he says, oh, I know, he is a prophet. That is not the right answer. You got a bunch of guys that don't believe Jesus is God, believe he's a sinner. Now you got more and more people believing, because if he's a sinner, he couldn't do these things. So you can't give glory to truth, because if you give glory to truth, you give glory to Jesus. So your God must be more important than the truth. And if you got a bad image, guys, you're going to come up with the truth you want in order for you to do what you really want to do. We're going to leave that alone for a few minutes. We'll get into it a lot worse as we go along this chapter. Is that all right? Can I get an amen? Amen. Let me tell you something. He's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been born blind. What? I know he didn't receive his sight, so let's call his parents. Let's call the parents of him that received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? Do you play these ping pong games with God? Are you making up your own truth so you don't have to see the truth? How can we as Christians be in the same church and don't see the truth the same? Hey, we don't believe you. We're going to call your folks. Here we go. Now, hold on to your hats. This one is going to get nasty in the courtroom. They asked them, saying, is this your son? Yes. That was born blind? Mm-hmm. How does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. We know he was born blind, but you ever had one of those Christian buts? But we don't know how he sees. Liar, liar, pants on fire. We don't know. Or who has opened his eye? We don't know. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Sorry, son, you it. Now, that sounds like a word of wisdom. I don't know, he's old enough, he can answer for himself. But they got some against him, verse 22. Verse 22 says, these words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Can I talk, men? Would you just shut down for a little bit, think about the game. I want to talk to you ladies. Is that all right, ladies? I had a woman in the first service said, no. Keep it about all of us. I just want to ask you a question, ladies. Now, I think they already know, but what if for 30-some years, ladies, you believe that you did something wrong, that you sinned, and your son was born blind? And somebody comes to your house Yes. The Pharisees down at the synagogue would like to see you. Why? We got a man down here said he's your son and he can see now. Ladies, what would be the first thing that would be on your mind? Come on, make it real. You got to live this. Happens to you and I every day. What's that? I can understand. I'm sorry. Anxious? Yeah, you could be a little anxious. Set up. It's a set. Set up. Fear. We know they feared. The verse, the Bible tells they feared. But as a woman, what would be your first response? Huh? Unbelievable joy. You know why? After 30-some years, knowing that my son was born blind, it could be my fault. God, maybe God, if it's true, has forgiven us. Nope. And even if the man, could the man step a little bit and show a little male leadership in the house? Honey, if it's him, we can go to the synagogue together. Our sins are forgiven. He hadn't been able to step foot in the synagogue for all these years, maybe because of our sin. Oh, no. Oh, no. What kind of image does the parents have of God? Oh, they got more fear of the Jews than they got of God. That's no doubt. How about you? What do you fear more than God? What other kind of God do you think the parents have? Oh, what's that? I can't hear you. He's still a revengeful God, you think? Yeah. What was that over there? Come on, speak up loud. You can be just as wrong loud as you can quiet. How about an unprotective God? He won't protect you more than the establishment. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. They was afraid to speak up. Because they feared the Jews and because they was afraid they would be kicked out of the synagogue. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Have the wrong thoughts, you're going to get kicked out of the country club. When I was growing up in Alabama, First year of integration in the state of Alabama, my mother would not let me go. Why wouldn't you let me go, Mom? She's back there hiding. She didn't want me to get hurt and didn't want me to hurt nobody. But I talked into it the second year, and I hurt people. But I made the football team, thought I was a pretty big star. It was about three of us on the team, two black football players, myself and Leonard Elston, and Richard Logan was a part of the band. Remember him like it was yesterday. And we would go on a road trip. And do you know that we would stop at restaurants, have our meals before the game, and all the white players could go inside? But we couldn't. And the coaches would take the rest of them inside. We would eat in the back. Because they didn't want to lose their status in the community. More than doing what's right. They feared being kicked out of the country club. And the three of us would get in the back, and if we didn't see them fix our food, we wouldn't eat it. You got to understand why I am who I am and why I fear God more than anything else. Nothing else bothers me because I got a good image of God. I got a biblical image of God. And if people don't like me, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. But these parents certainly did. Missed out on the greatest opportunity in their lives. Because they had a God that's not strong enough of the Jews. And a God that they didn't think was important enough to lose their membership in the synagogue. I want to ask you a question. Can I ask you a question? Let me ask you a question. Why did you think they said he is of age? Ask him outside. The other two reasons, fear of the Jews and getting kicked out of the synagogue. Because they have accepted their son's status in life. And it wasn't as important as theirs. We know he's getting ready to get kicked out of the synagogue again. And we're not going with him. You ever had some Christians that you should have stood up with? Can't hear you. You ever had some Christian friends, pastors, churches that you should have stood up with and you just didn't want to be treated like them? Can I give an example about what happened several years ago right here in this city? We had a Christian pastor of a big church was caught in sin. And there was about five of us that had committed to be accountable to one another. We put this big rally together, had 26,000 people come together in Miramar. Churches, Christians, pastors. After that event, it came out that one of the pastors had been caught touching boys. So he was confronted. We confronted him. You know how long this went on? Over 2 years to get him out of the church. And after 2 years, you know who wanted to give up? Pretty much all the pastors who had started the process, except this old crazy black pastor of yours. So no way. No way. We're going to follow this through. That's sending the camp, and it needs to be kicked out. And it got to the point where most of the pastors that were standing turned against your pastor. Because they believe it was all about me. And to this very day, those relationships of the pastors in this area has been strained. I want to ask you a question. After 2.5 years of this, you think your pastor said, man, this ain't worth it. I'd rather be accepted by all of the pastors in the area than to do what God has called me to do. Come on, y'all don't believe I'm that strong. I gave it up, took money. Just kidding. To this very day, guys, no one of the pastors, they don't think I did it because it was the right thing to do. They think I did it because I wanted to be the big fish in the pond. And when we get through with that, everything is going hunky-dory. We're leaving each other alone. The same sex marriage thing comes up. Same thing. It's only been going on 16 years now. You know how many pastors are tired of it? How many compromise about it? We need to be more loving. And I'm stabbed all over again. But I don't care about being in the synagogue. Understand your pastor. He's got a great biblical image of God. Nothing bothers him when it comes to fearing his Lord. It would have been a different story if these parents was that way, wouldn't it? We're talking about his parents. I love this. You go ask him. Verse 24, then again. What? What if you're the blind man? I should say the ex-blind man. They want to do what? Yep, they want to come on in. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Give God the praise, but don't you give Jesus no praise. Can I ask you a question? What is your image of God today? Do you compromise by talking about God instead of talking about Jesus? How many of you know that no one's offended if you say God? Athlete has a great game to come up to him afterwards and say, what do you think? Man, I just want to give God the praise. Oh, they'll put that all in the paper. Can I have someone talk to me? Oh, they'll put that all in the paper. You know, it's all about God. I know it. The team knows it. We're just going to play for the glory of God. Write him up. Make sure we interview him next week. But we ain't running into one of them crazy nuts. Somebody that makes God a little bit more distinguishable. Somebody that says, I just want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, I dropped the mic. Television went off. Lost signal. Commercial. Give God the glory. Leave Jesus out of this now. You know what? And teammates, Christian coaches, family members, I come up and say, well, can you just hold it down a little? Talk to me. Everyone talk about God, but don't Tebow. Can I get an amen? Tebow. Oreo. Julie got traded. Tebow was the most well-known white Bronco since. Don't squeeze the juice. Some of y'all get that on the way home and you're going to just crack up, man. I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. Are we feeling good right now? Are we getting it? Are we understanding where we're coming from out of John chapter 9? Are we understanding our image that we have and how we're going to respond according to the image of God that we have? So they ask him again. You know, after a while, a person is just going to get tired of being asked. He's going to lose all. Talk to me. He's going to lose all sensitivity. He's been holding it in for 30-some years. You know he's got some stuff to say. We don't want you to give God the glory now. We don't want you to give Jesus. He's a sinner. You give God the glory. Check my boy out. He pulls out his robe, put on his doctorate. Verse 25, he answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, and now I see. Amen. Dr. Newby, somebody ought to write a song about that. That just sounds amazing, doesn't it? Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But this one thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see. And I didn't see any of y'all making a difference in my life. And I know he went Southern Hebrew on him. Can I get an amen? He went deep on him right there. Now, hold on. He goes, now, then they said to him, verse 26, how? Again. Now look, they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? The Pharisees, God, man, is just limited, isn't it? The boy done told him, what, 15, 16 times? What did he do to you, man? Come on. Rap to us. How'd he open your eye? Verse 27. He answered and said to them, I have told you already. He did, but you didn't hear me. You won't even listen. Why do you want to hear again? Oh, I know. You want to be one of his disciples. Well, one thing we know for sure, the blind man, when he was blind, did not take evangelism 101. He did not braille that out, did he? I know. You want to be one of his disciples. I can help with that. Check this out. Then they cursed him out. You're his disciple. You're his disciple. But we are Moses' disciple. Well, Jesus just busts them in John chapter 8 about Abraham. They're not going down that road right now. That's too much truth. We're Moses' disciple. Have you ever, what kind of God do you have that you can control your tongue when someone's throwing the truth on you and you're being eat up and you don't get upset and start letting the words fly? What kind of image of God is okay for you to start throwing profanity out just because you're upset? Talk about the goodness of God for 3 weeks and just blow it one day and just go off with profanity. Talk about everybody in the room. I had a friend, grew up back east. He says, Dad came home one day. Won't give you his name, give you his initials. Sherman Smith. Said his dad came home one day so mad. Say, man, he started with his mother. That wasn't good enough when he got through and he found his brothers. So that wasn't good enough. He went through Sherman. So he got through with Sherman, and all of a sudden he looked around. He was still mad, didn't have nobody else. Looked over and a dog was laying down over by the fireplace. He said, you better learn some new tricks. Everybody. What kind of God you serve that you can't control yourself and hold your tongue when the truth is beating you up? And someone is saying your Christianity is only a little inch deep. They reviled him. They cursed him out. We're Moses' disciples. You're his disciple. Verse 29. We know that God spoke unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from where he is. My boy puts the scholar roll back on. Pull out some of them answers he's been keeping quiet all these years. Listen to what he says. He says, verse 30, the man answered and said unto them, why, this is a marvelous thing. Is he getting ready to school them? Oh, now this is a marvelous thing. You don't know from where he is. You don't know where he came from. You don't know basically whether he's a sinner or not, but he opened my eyes. Now we know, at least you've been telling me for 30-some years, God don't hear sinners. That's why you kicked me out of the synagogue. But if any man be a worshiper of God and does the will of God, God hears him. At least that's what you've been telling me. Since the age began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he couldn't do anything. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and you want to tell us and teach us? And they cast him out of the synagogue again. Cast out as a blind man, cast out of the synagogue, being the only one that could truly see. I don't know about you, but I like this man. Can someone say amen to the pastor? I like this man. This boy throwing some heavy duties on him, right? Man, just preaching on and using their own word. And listen to what he said. You were altogether born in sin because you was born blind. Now you think you have the right to teach us? That's what many of the pastors told me. Who in the world do you think you are? You uneducated, untrained? I mean, they went down the gamut telling me what I was like. You got to count it a blessing. And you do if you have the right image of God. Verse 35, folks, check this out. He says, I'm sorry, kept you a little long. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and Jesus went and found him. I want to ask you a question. If you ever cast out for Jesus, do you have to worry about being found by the wrong people? I'd rather not be found by the status quo than to have God have to turn his back on me. Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of God? Verse 36, he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talks with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And they were, what did he call Jesus in verse 38? What did he call him in verse 17? What did he call him in verse 11? Man, prophet, Lord, Lord. Jesus never said it as clear except at the woman at the well, one-on-one, that he was God. Now check this out. I love this as we close. He says, for judgment I came to the world, that they who see not might see, and they that who see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees who was with him heard him say these words, and they said, are we blind? Listen to this now. Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But because you say you see, your sin remains. Let me tell you what Jesus just said. He says, now here's the truth, Christians. The word sitting in front of you. If you don't know it, God says, if you truly don't know it, there's no sin. He says, but if you're given the truth, and you refuse to see it, you're a sinner. Now, does that just stop with our Christian life? Does that go outside the four walls?
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.